Well, that was loud. My wife tells me I don't know how to be subtle, and so when I make the video, that's kind of how it goes. Well, I'm really, really, really happy to be here. I don't know what to do with that introduction. Now I'm like, oh man, I got to come up with something way more clever. So he'll stick with him for another year. But I'm super grateful. I am super, super grateful for this church. I really, really love being here. I love Pastor Josh and Pastor Anna. I really do. I text Pastor Josh and I call him and I geek out about like wood things all the time with him. So when I see something amazing that's made out of wood, I usually just take a picture and send it to him, except it's like 3 a.m. here. And so he doesn't get back to me right away, but that's okay. But I appreciate it. They're very supportive. And I love the heart of this place. I love Trailhead's heart and love for people. And I think I tell everyone you have the coolest church building in the world, because it is the coolest church building in the world. It's insane. But the thing that I love about this, because I know for a while you guys were in a movie theater. I mean, you were doing setup, teardown. I know what that's like. It seemed like this was the goal, right? To get into the promised land of not having to set up chairs. But I love about this church is this building is not the goal. This building is your tool, because you're loving people through this building. This isn't the end of the game. This is just something you're leveraging for it. And it's so cool. It's ridiculous. I love it because I geek out about all the things that you guys have done here. It's amazing. But I'm really thankful to be here. But I want to jump right in. So go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And my goal today is I kind of want to tell you a little bit about who we are and what we get to do. And this is a little bit why, not just because I'm here to promote ministry, but the Spirit of God is inside of you. And one of the things we get to do at church is get stirred up. And one of the things the Holy Ghost loves that's on the inside of you, he loves the Great Commission. He loves people. He loves reaching people. And for many of us, we're not going to get to go to Thailand. You're not going to get to go to the other side of the world. But sometimes, I know for me, it's easy for me to forget my own world. I have three little kids. And yeah, we went to the pool yesterday. And they loved it. It was the first time they got to see a diving board and go off it, and they were so excited. But they are 5, 7, and 8. And the loudest 4 people in the entire nation of Thailand live in my house. My poor introverted wife you can pray for her a lot. But and so we have lots of energy. There's lots of interesting chaos in my life. So for me, it's easy to stop thinking beyond my world, right? Because my world can become very consuming. But I love having the opportunity to kind of open worlds up to people that don't always get to go places. So I'm bringing Thailand to you a little bit because people we've never seen, Jesus died for. People we don't even understand. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're brown, you're yellow, like red, whatever. Like Jesus died, you're rich, poor. He died for everybody and he loves them like crazy. And so one of the things I love is I get to interact with people that Jesus loved and brought me to, even if I didn't know it or expect it. But in Romans 8:14, it says this. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Now, for so long, I used to think about being led by the Spirit of God was something special. Like it was the person on stage and they'd tell some story, you know. Because Pastor Josh is like the best storyteller in the world, you know. He says I'm good at offering. I just do it when he's around, so I look clever. But he is like the best storyteller ever. I've heard the same story of his at least 30 times, and I still want to hear it every time I'm around him because I love hearing it so much. But I always thought that being led was this spiritual thing, like, you know, you had to get to and achieve. But I think what it's saying, it's basically saying, hey, listen, if you're a child of God, if that's you, if you're in this boat, if you're saying, all right, I'm in, I've done this, this is how you operate in life. You're led by the Spirit. That's just how it works. I mean, he was talking about currency. I've actually made mistakes and not had any. The in Thailand, the money is called baht. It's about 32 baht to $1. But I I've been somewhere and I only had American money. It doesn't work. Because when you're in Thailand, it doesn't work. Now, it's prized, and I had a $100 bill. That's the gold standard globally. I mean, it's pretty great. But I'll just say, I got a really bad exchange rate that day. Because what I had wasn't working where I was. You know, I come here, and I have almost reverse culture shock now. We've been in Thailand 3 years, And I drive there a lot, and I get to drive a stick shift with my left hand sitting on the right side of the car, driving on the other side of the road. And so when I come here sometimes, I forget. I'm like, okay, what side of the street do I have to be on? You know, like it's a little confusing. But when you're somewhere, you have to operate like that. You have to operate. When I'm in Thailand, I have to drive on the correct side of the road for them. I'm over on the left. You know, you can make a left-hand turn on a red because you're hugging the corner. Like when you're there, that's how you operate. And if you don't, it doesn't go well. When you're a child of God, it's just saying, hey, listen, this is how you operate. You're led by the Spirit of God. And that can look so many amazing different ways. But when God told us we got to be pastors for a long time, we were youth pastors and campus pastors, and then God moved on our hearts and we started New Life Commission and we moved to Thailand, he kind of put on our hearts, he said, all right, I want you to bring hope, help, and healing. And I'm like, well, that's clever. Way to go, God. That'll look great on a card. What does that mean? You know, I think God's a good marketer. He's pretty awesome. I was like, oh, that's kind of catchy. All right, here we go. But for us, it's hope is the gospel. Help is meeting present needs. And healing comes from your past and your physical issues that are going on. And so I want to just kind of synopsis, because the world I live in, people always ask, they're like, all right, what's Thailand like? And I usually just say, it's a different world. Now, that doesn't make sense to me if you've never seen it, that doesn't make sense, because how do you imagine something you've never seen? How do you picture something you don't know? You know, you ever read in the Bible, in like the book of Revelations, they're like, I saw someone and they were like. It's because they were seeing something that they had no idea how to describe, so they just got the closest thing possible. But in the nation of Thailand, there's less than 2% are evangelical Christians as a nation. There's about 10% Muslim, and the rest are a Buddhist animist mix, because they are very aware of spiritual things. So there are tons of temples, very few churches. Every house has this little ornate box, and it's a home, and they call it a spirit house. And every day they put offerings on the spirit house because they genuinely believe that they are trying to appease spirits in their homes. Everybody wears charms, and those charms aren't just decorative. They're actually trying to ward off evil spirits, tormenting spirits. I've been places where people don't believe anything I have to do or anything that we talk about, but they genuinely want us to pray for them because they are tormented by things. It's a very spiritually driven culture. But they don't know Jesus. Because in America, when you meet someone and they're not a Christian, I usually assume it's because they met one and it didn't go well, right? You know, I mean, that's true. We've heard the God. I mean, most people, they've heard of Christmas. They've heard of Easter. They kind of, oh, yeah, there's that religious-y thing. Like, but I mean, in Thailand, it's more normal for me to meet someone who's never heard the name of Jesus one time in their life. I met a woman who was 80 years old in Bangkok, one of the biggest cities in the world. And I was like, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus? And she said, no, I don't have a TV. Through the translator. She didn't speak English. But she said, I don't have a TV. Is he an American pop star? And I was like, no. He's not. And those who have, if I find someone who's heard of Jesus, they might have heard the word of Jesus or the name of Jesus. I mean, it's rare to find someone who's actually heard the gospel. They've heard of Jesus in the midst of, oh, that's that Western religion. Because, you know, we have Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam. Like, there's stuff all over. So that's just another one of the things in the mix. And so when I look at that, Thailand, there's so many people without hope. Because Buddhism doesn't bring hope. I'll be really honest. They're chasing and striving and going after something, and they don't have a lot of hope. And so God put this picture in my heart that we had this opportunity. It was like Thailand was a pond. Now, I can be, as a Western missionary, I can be a rock, and I can jump in the pond, and I can make a splash, and I can make ripples. But he said, if you want to change the water, it's got to be Thai people. Loving Thai people. So we've had this neat opportunity. In the last 6 months, we got contacted by a pastor who's 88 years old, and he's over 50 churches throughout Thailand. He launched them, he planted them, and he's still there covering. And he's like, I need help because I'm getting old. I'm going to go soon. I need help caring for these churches. And so a friend of mine who's another missionary and I are actually working, and we're trying to bring health to churches, because we realize we could start a church and have a small impact, but if we can get 50 churches healthy, growing, supported, and moving in all the right directions, our impact can be so much bigger, because Thai people can love and help Thai people. And so our goal is to really just help these amazing churches, to really help these people start to be in a more healthy, stronger place, because healthy churches grow. Healthy churches are reaching people. Healthy churches are sharing the gospel and making Jesus known. And we have this amazing opportunity right now where we're bringing help. And it's funny because I feel like the doors just opened for help like crazy. We do a lot of work with refugees. Right now, life in Thailand is okay compared to next door. So for 2.5 years, we've lived on the Burmese border. And Burma has been in a civil war for several years. And they're committing horrible genocide. And it's everything you've ever seen in like a Rambo movie that the bad guys are doing, except way worse because it's real and it's more disgusting. But for 2.5 years, it was normal for us to be in our house and hear bombs going off just across the border. Like hearing things shake, meeting people who didn't have limbs. I remember coming up to a guy and he kind of was walking. He'd been shot 6 times as a soldier and they escaped. There was an earthquake a few months ago that the epicenter was in Myanmar. It was in Burma that many people heard about. And it was like a 7.7. Over 3,500 people were killed. We felt it. I literally felt like I was standing in a rowboat in my living room. Like I was just rocking. And I'm like, this is weird. It was actually, I didn't understand. It took me so long to figure out, oh, it's an earthquake. I thought something was wrong with my house or I was having vertigo or, you know, like all the things. But I was sitting in a Lazy Boy and it started rocking on its own. I was like, this is different. Like, but I'd never been in an earthquake before. But 2 days after the earthquake, you know, they didn't send FEMA. The government sent Russian and Chinese fighters, and they bombed the area because they were trying to wipe out rebels that were also in that area that had just gone through an earthquake that killed thousands of people. Like, they're in crazy. So people are coming legally and a lot illegally across the border just to escape. And so we've had this amazing partnership with a refugee camp and a church in the mountains. And we get to love on these people. And they have stories that I just can't even imagine. Like, it doesn't make sense. There was a picture, a video up there, and it showed some bathrooms and a big square. You would think it looked like a baptismal. That was the men's shower. It was a big square trough in the middle of the courtyard. And so when I showed up to preach, I'm sleeping in the church on the cement floor, which was great. And then they're like, this is the shower. And I'm like, okay, so we're not bathing today. But I had to learn. Well, it was kind of weird because I had to learn how to, this is too much information, but they have this wrap they call a longji, and you wear that while you're bathing in the middle of the courtyard, you know, and people like are walking by and I'm like, hey, see you an hour for church because, you know, I'm preaching, you know, like it's unique, you know, it's fun, but it's a different world, but they're escaping to that. And this church is amazing. Right now, I connected, right now they have, because for refugee status, sometimes it'll take up to 6 months for you to get any kind of help, any kind of support, even going through the right channels. So this pastor I work with, Si Alman, he often will kind of adopt people in the transition. And so right now we're working with him. There's 28 to 17-year-old students that have escaped. And by escaped, most of them come across not legally. Most of them don't have families. Most of them, their houses and villages don't exist anymore. They were bombed. They were burned. I mean, it's crazy to even try and wrap your head around it. And so right now he's housing them. And we had the Opportunity Life Commission. We're paying for their food for the next 10 months, and we're paying for their school fees because we're trying to help them get out of the life they've been in for so long. You know, we got to meet. I was at an outreach. We met a family of 10 living in a hut that's like two of the piano stages. And there's six kids, and then there's a niece and a nephew, and then two parents, and they live there. And that's it. And they were Buddhists, and so we introduced them to Jesus, and we're asking how we can help. So we give them rice every month. Right now they're trying to figure it out, but we're giving them rice every month just to try and support them and say, hey, what does it look like to help you? What does it look like to keep you going? But it's a different world. People live in houses they made out of bamboo. People live in houses they made out of pieces of trash and plexiglass. Like, it's a different world. And so we get to be there. Now, my kids, we rent a house and we live in a neighborhood. There are also, like, it's unique because I can actually be giving someone rice and feeding them and they're in a hut, and then I can walk down the street and I can see a Tesla drive by. And it's surreal because the gap is so different and so strange. And it's wild to think about. But And we love to bring healing for many, 2.5 years I had the opportunity and I've worked with an organization that rescues kids out of human trafficking. And I got to pastor the parents that were loving and caring for these kids who were coming out of horrific situations. And I got to help them and encourage them and teach them and be over them. And it was so, so, so much fun. But Jesus speaks. We're led by the Spirit. Now, when I think of that, I think of circumstances kind of like I found myself in one day. I loved it because we showed up, and this is when I first got started. I'm in Thailand like a month and a half, and they use me because I'm big and I carry, because the rice is like 40 kgs. That's a lot of weight. You can do the math. 2.2 pounds, you know, multiply it. But so I'm carrying stuff, and I can drive a truck, and so they bring me, so I bring the stuff, and we're meeting with this family in the Muslim ghetto, and it's a former, I'm told this is a former imam, and his wife, and they're old and they're injured. They have a teenage daughter, and the organization I'm with is trying to support them monthly so she can keep going to school. Because if they can't make enough money with her father going out collecting scraps, she has to go earn for the family. And for a 14-year-old girl, that pretty much looks like being a prostitute or selling yourself to human traffickers. Or sell, you know, they sell her to traffickers. That's life. And so we were giving them food and we're trying to support them to keep her off of that path. So I'm just sitting there and I'm in their hut hanging out and they're talking in Burmese and I have no idea what's going on. And I've got kind of the lowdown on the situation. And then, you know, 20 minutes go by and the translator turns to me and says, okay, your turn. For what? Would you like to talk to them? Would you like to share with them? Would you like to encourage them? I was like, you told me I was driving. I was like, Jesus, help me, you know, give me something. And he did. And I started talking. And they said it was the first time that he didn't pull out a Quran and start trying to debate. But it was so nice because in my heart, I stare here, hey, this is kind of how you flow and this is kind of who you are and this is what, and after I'm done talking, I go, hey, was any of that right? You know, I'm asking the wife, I'm like, hey, am I close? Because this is kind of what I felt on my heart. And they're like, yeah. And I go, how on earth could I know that except for the one true Spirit of God? Unless there's one God. And the mom, the wife in this circumstance, she says, when you're talking, something inside of me was burning. And I'm like, that is so cool. But that reminds me of the guys who were walking on the road to Emmaus. They said, when Jesus spoke, didn't our hearts burn? But it also looks like my wife. Now, I have 3 little kids. We were in a very remote place for a long, long time. And some of my kids have some special needs, and they didn't come out until we moved to a third world country, away from everything we had. And my wife is at home dealing with these things, trying to homeschool, trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and she didn't have the time to go sit and pray for hours on end. She'd tell me, like, I don't have time for fasting. I don't have time for chaos. I got about 3 minutes before someone is crying or screaming or somebody's bleeding. Like, this is just my life right now with little kids. She's like, I need Jesus to talk now. And I can't tell you how many times I'd come home and I'd hear about the situation. And then she'd be like, you're so good. I found this podcast. He was so good. I saw this Instagram post. He was so good. I heard this and I found this and I got this email or I found this book and I started reading. My wife was desperate and she has like a PhD now in early childhood brain development because of how much work she's had to do. But she was led in a totally different way by the same Spirit of God because she needed practical application to raise her children in a crazy environment now, in the moment. Not in a someday and not getting to separate, you know, and just go into that prayer closet and finding that quiet place that is so wonderful. I don't have a quiet place anywhere in my house. They hunt me down and find me if I try and get to a quiet place. They have, like, you know, those, I don't know, the blood-sniffing hounds that can find. My daughter, she's 5 years old. She could find me and candy. I mean, you could blindfold her and put her in one of those rat mazes, and she'd find me or she'd find candy, no problem. I don't know what, it's amazing. But she has a gift. But it's crazy. So we need, all of us need that leading. All of us need to know that's how we work, that's how we operate, that's how we get to live. And so my life, when I recently got to be on a podcast when I was in Ohio, and they kind of asked me my whole story. And looking back now, I'm like, that's all I got. When I look back at my journey that led us from one place to another place to another place to another place, you know, I moved from Michigan to Ohio. That was almost scarier than moving to Thailand because, you know, Michigan, Ohio, we don't get along, right? We're kind of rivals. I was like, oh, Lord, please just call me to somewhere else, like a third world country, something, you know. I'm sure they need people in Hawaii, you know, or something. But God has a sense of humor. So I'm the guy who wore shorts in high school in Michigan in the winter. Didn't matter. Like, I love the snow. I love the cold. I really do. I know you're like, that's so weird. No, no, I love it. I hate sweating. And Thailand is just this side of Hades. Like, it's insane. We have three seasons, hot, hotter, and raining hot, and that's it. And it's crazy. So God has a great sense of humor, but we get to be there being led by the Spirit of God. And that's, when I look back at life, if I could say, hey, what did you do? How did you get there? I'm like, that's it. I learned and I practiced. I practiced a lot trying to go, okay, what are you hearing? What are you saying? What are you doing? And now we're getting to bring hope, help, and healing. And so people ask, you know, sometimes like, hey, what do you need? Well, I want you to take that little magnet that's on a chair, put it on your fridge, and remember to pray for us, please. And if you want, you could scan that QR code, jump online, you can see what we're doing, you can become a partner. Because that helps us just make a budget, that helps us connect with people, that helps keep in feeding and building houses and doing the things we get to do. But when it comes to being led by the Spirit, sometimes I think we gauge it wrong. I remember, turn to Luke chapter 4. I remember when I went to Bible school, I didn't know anything about the Bible school I was going to. I really didn't. I didn't know anything. I was really clueless. But I'm standing in line at Bible school, and we're doing the registration, and the guy in front of me just goes, man, I know God called me. And I'm like, cool, you know? I didn't know anything. I was Presbyterian. This is like a charismatic Bible school, you know? I was a frozen chosen. But he's like, I got my acceptance letter. And the devil came after me. He's like, my car broke down, my cat died, you know, I got foreclosed. Like, everything in the world fell apart. He's like, he tried to stop me from getting here. I know God called me to be here. And I'm just like, wow. Like, 5 minutes later, the person behind me had a very similar story. They're like, I know God called me to be here. They said, I got my acceptance letter. Somebody bought me a car. Somebody paid my tuition. Like, the heavens open up and the Lord provided. And I'm just like, wow. I just thought I was supposed to come. Like, I felt really unspiritual at that moment. I was like, I don't have any stories. Like, I applied and they said yes, you know? Like, it was deep, right? But look at this. Luke 4, 1 and 2, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. I think when we're led by the Spirit, it would be a nicer place. Like, have you ever thought about this? Now, we know the end of the story. We know what's coming in the tempter and the temptations, and he's going to speak, and he's going to say, get behind me. You know, he's going to come through it. We know the end. But what if you didn't? What if you checked in on Jesus on day like 33? Okay, I haven't eaten for 33 days. I thought this is where God told me to go. And the only thing that's happening is I'm hungry and the devil's messing with me. That's all we've accomplished so far. And it's been a month. I think sometimes we do this. I think sometimes we find ourselves in places where we thought God told us to be, and it's not going like we think it should. And we start to wonder if we heard God. Like Jesus literally, the Spirit of God took him somewhere to be messed with by the enemy. Now there's a whole lot of teaching and reasons, and he was the second Adam, and he had to overcome everything that Adam failed. And like there's a lot I can't get into. But just looking at the fact that Jesus doesn't miss God. Right? He doesn't miss it. He was perfect. He was led perfectly. He had perfect fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did lead him here, and it was not easy. And it was not fun. And I think sometimes we were just like, oh, obviously it's not God. Obviously it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, obviously I missed it. Because we sometimes judge our ability to lead, not just by what we heard, but we look at our circumstances and assume it should be going well, because people like me love to stand on stages like this and tell you all the success stories of how awesome Jesus is and how great everything is and how it works out, like amazingness. And we don't like to talk about the other stuff because it doesn't, you know, get as many likes or tweets or, you know, supporters or whatever. And so we just tell you the champion hero moments, and it makes us think as a group that if I'm really living by faith, it should be working out better than it is. If I'm really being led by the Spirit of God, it should be easier than it is. So in my life and in my marriage, we've dealt with miscarriage. We've dealt with 7 years of infertility. We dealt with failed adoptions on multiple levels. All three of my kids are adopted. They're awesome. They're so cute. And I can say that because they look nothing like me. But like, I thought I knew hard, and then I moved to the other side of the world and thought that was just the kiddie pool. You know, back there crying every month because we can't get pregnant, or crying every week because adoptions keep failing. Like, that was easy. Now, Jesus is awesome and he's faithful. But man, sometimes you wonder. You really, really wonder. Matthew says it this way, Matthew 4. Similar story, but kind of a different way it goes about it. This is the first temptation. It says, after fasting 40 days and night, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, we know this. We've heard this before, and we think that, and a lot of times, we just assume that that was easy. I think because Jesus made things look easy, we think it was easy. Have you ever fasted for 40 days? I haven't, okay? 29 is my record, all right? And it was miserable a lot of the time because I love food. We went to a Mexican place last night. It was from Jesus, I'll be honest. I loved it. Holy cow, it was awesome. But so he's in the midst of this, but what I love what Jesus says is how did he survive? Because he kind of gives us this blueprint. He just says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He was led. But that word he uses for word is actually rhema, not logos. Rhema is the spoken word of God when God is speaking. Logos is the written word of God. Right here. And so he basically says, because I hear God speaking to me, I'm living, I'm surviving, and I will not trade that for anything. And he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we won't go ahead and read it, but Deuteronomy 8 quotes this and says, hey, God gave you manna every day. But we don't live by that. We live by every word from his mouth. God is speaking to us. He wants to be speaking to you daily. He wants to talk to your heart daily. Now, we get confused because we've seen people get weird, right? You know, someone comes in, they're like, God told me. And we're like, no, he didn't. This is never obsolete. This is the primo, most primary, this is the Bible, in case you're like, what's that brown book? Yeah, this is the Bible. This is God's written word. This will train your heart, your mind, your ear to recognize God's voice. This is what calibrates you so that you know, was that God or was that not? Because Jesus was hearing something. It was the enemy. I've heard lots of things, and they're not all from God. You know, there's usually three voices in your head. You know, there's the Father. You know, there's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he's talking. There's the enemy, he's talking. You know, we've all seen that little, you know, devil cartoon on one shoulder and angel on the other shoulder. But that's kind of like our lives. And then sometimes there's us right in the middle. This calibrates our hearts. This calibrates us to recognize the voice. It's really funny. We used to have, I mean, who remembers CDs? You remember those? I was actually hanging out with a group of 20-somethings recently, and I talked about one of our first things I ever got to do in ministry was I went to a missionary, and we would burn his CDs for him, his teaching CDs. And they're like, why were you setting his CDs on fire? And I was like, oh, no, we had a tower, and we had to duplicate them. They called it burning CD. It just made no sense to him. But you have a favorite singer that you've never met in person. But if they walked in the room and stood behind you and started belting out your favorite song, you'd know their voice automatically. You'd know if it was a fake. You'd know if it was impossible. You'd recognize their voice, not because you've ever heard them in person, you've seen them, but you've heard what they've done in the past. You know their voice from what they've pre-recorded, and you've tuned your ear to it. This is everything God has pre-recorded for you to learn who he is, what he says, and what he sounds like, so that when you're in a moment that's not detailed given in this book. This book will give you guidance for every area of your life. I love the Bible. The Bible is amazing because it is so detailed enough it can answer every question. But it's just slightly vague enough that you need dependence on the author to really get it. It's fantastic. It's really fantastic. But you can train your ear and your heart to know his voice, and this is the trainer. This is the tuner. I mean, we got these amazing musicians. None of the instruments are here. They all took them away. But anyway, we got these amazing musicians. They know when one string is off, and they have a tuner to get it right back on path, right? That's the tuner. But you need to be able to train your ear so you know it. You know what he's saying. You know what he said, and you know how he said it. Because every day God is speaking, and it's the word. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to jump ahead to Hebrews chapter 11. Because I think sometimes we get this a little wrong, and I want to kind of help some people. Now we know this is, if you've been in church for a while, you know this is the faith heroes. This is the Hall of Famers. These are the amazing elite people that the writer of Hebrews kind of sums up. And we like this because we get excited about it. Because I'm an inspiration guy. I like that. I was an athlete. I was a swimmer, actually, which, you know, is not the most popular sport in the world. But once every 4 years, I was like, yeah, you know, watch the Olympics, and it was great. And Michael Phelps helped me so much because, you know, I actually felt cool for a half a moment. But I like the inspirational stuff. So we read this. I'm going to start Hebrews 11, verse 32. It says, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised. They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames. They escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received their dead raised back to life, and there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection." That's awesome. We see these people like, yeah, they closed the mouths of lions. They escaped the sword. Kids were coming back to life. And then you keep reading. And this is where we don't normally preach. Verse 36. "Some faced jeering and flogging and chains, imprisonment. They were put to death by the sword. They were sawn in two. They were killed, or they were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went around in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet didn't receive what was promised." It doesn't seem to make sense because, like, they're the rock stars, and then there are the people who seem to have the opposite results, but they're still claim to have great faith. They're still claim to be amazing. They're still claim to be, the world wasn't worthy of them. Now, I know the thing that they were holding on to, when it says the promise they were looking for, God actually put glimpses of Jesus in all their hearts. These are Old Testament characters who were looking for the salvation that was promised, who were looking and waiting for what God, and they were holding on, and it was come, hey, listen, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're like, listen, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not straying from this path. And we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus jumped in the fire with them. But there were many others who still said, even if he doesn't, we're still going. Right. And it was a little over a year in. We've been there about 14 months, and in 1 month, I got 4 words from God. One was to me, and then one was from someone from, it was great, one was from Australia, one was from Hong Kong, and then one was from the States. And all 4 of them in 1 month told me I didn't miss it. Like, that was like the opening line was, hey, you didn't miss God. Because we were in Thailand, and it's hard, and our kids are freaking out. My wife's freaking out. Like, we're struggling. We're wondering, what the heck are we doing? Because we left awesome. We had a great growing church. We had a wonderful community. My kids were spoiled by so many people loving into their lives, and we got to nowhere. And we had no community, no church, no spoiled, no help. Like, it was, and four times God told me in 1 month, you didn't miss it. And I needed, oh, I needed that. And guess what? It didn't just change all the results. My kids didn't wake up the next day, go, hi, Dad, how can I serve you today? Like, that didn't just go. It didn't change. It's been a slow progression, and Jesus has been faithful, and we've been working on things, and he keeps it moving, and he keeps it moving, and he keeps it moving. But let me tell you, if you're struggling and you thought you were following God, that doesn't mean you missed it. Some of you are second-guessing things that God put in your heart because it's not turning out exactly how you thought it was. I remember talking to Pastor Josh at the beginning of this. For a long time, he would bring bankers in, and they couldn't see what he saw. And it wasn't until they framed it up, right? And somebody came in and said, oh, I could see it now. Why? Because there was something in his heart, but he got rejected on every path. That didn't mean he was wrong, because he was right. And just because it wasn't easy doesn't mean it wasn't God. And just because you're struggling and it doesn't look like you thought it should look doesn't mean it isn't God. You are led. You are led by the Spirit of God because he's inside of you and you are his child. And that voice is in you. And that love is in you. And that power is in you. You guys can come on up. And I think sometimes we, even in the church today, even with our best intentions, sometimes because we are so results-driven as a culture and even as a church, and because the shiniest thing, because of the social media and because of everything we see in life, everything we broadcast, everything we put out there, we assume if I got nothing amazing to show, then obviously I'm failing, I'm wrong, I missed it. But I really think so. There are people in here today who, just because you're struggling doesn't mean you're failing. Just because you're struggling doesn't mean you miss God. Just because it's hard doesn't mean you're wrong. We live, honestly, in a culture where if you go to Walmart, oh man, we came to, my wife took my daughter to Walmart and people kind of freaked out because she'd walk down an aisle and go, wow! Mom, look! You know, like, she'd never seen so much cereal and so, like, they're like, are you okay, child? Blink twice if you've not, you know, have you been in a basement for years? Like, what's going on? But, like, they were getting some looks, you know. But honestly, you go into Walmart and what? There are literally thousands and tens of thousands of items, and their goal is one thing. They're going to make your life easier, more convenient. And so we kind of are programmed a little bit that if it's hard, it's wrong. If it just doesn't come together, it's wrong. I look at Jesus and I'm like, man, I'm so glad he didn't quit after 30 days in the wilderness. I'm so glad he didn't give up after 39 days in the wilderness. Because that actually set him up for everything he was going to do over the next 3.5 years, including die for our sins and be raised to life so that we could become children of God and more than conquerors through Christ. Like, it was no joke. But some of you, you just might be on day 30. Some of you, you might not see everything that you want to see in life. But God's not judging. Remember when he looked at David, he said, everybody's judging by the outside. I'm looking at the heart. The rock stars we see on the other side in heaven, they're going to look different because they didn't have great Instagram accounts. They were little old ladies who were on their knees praying and praying, and they were moving heaven and earth on their knees, but they didn't see the results on this side of heaven. When they get over there, who, buddy? They're going to have a big old mansion and be just as surprised as everyone else because, like, oh, I had no idea that was happening. I had no idea that was working. I was so blessed the other day. There's an intern who has that at the church I used to work at. You know Eli? Have you met Eli? So this guy comes to me, and he's actually, I don't know if he's on staff now, but he's helping at the church. He just finished Bible school. And I had a small men's meeting that I got to go to last Monday. And afterwards he goes, hey, I don't know if you know this, but there was a Wednesday night. and you shared the gospel, and that was when I got saved. And I was like, I had no idea. But I look now and I'm like, you went to Bible school. Like, you're working at a church. Like, your whole life is transformed. You're amazing. And I'm like, I would have, if he hadn't have told me, I'd have never known. And I might have thought, man, I missed it that Wednesday. I thought, you know, I was just supposed to preach his message. And obviously, I didn't think anybody, I'd have never known. So do me a favor, just bow your heads for one moment. And just look inside and just see for a moment. Just double check. Because tragically, usually the person we are the hardest on is ourselves. Usually the person we give the least grace to is ourselves. Usually the person that we are the most negative towards is ourselves. And that is not the voice of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the voice of your Father in heaven. The Spirit of God is the voice of your loving Savior, Jesus. The Spirit of God will shout and champion how much you are loved, how proud the kingdom of heaven is of you. So if you're second-guessing yourself this morning because of circumstances, if you're wondering if you missed it, if you're questioning your quality of walking by faith, I'm here to tell you it's not about that. I want you to listen to the Spirit of God. Because if you shut all those other noises out, if you close your eyes for a minute and just look eternally, internally, you're going to hear that same still, small, loving voice telling you, you got this. I'm with you. I love you. I'm proud of you. You haven't missed it. I'm so grateful for your faithfulness.